This week we're going to focus on walking with God in His Word, and then next Sunday we'll turn to walking with God in prayer. Follow up from last week's profession of faith service. Let's start actually in Matthew 7. Jesus coming toward the end of His famous Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Page 1506. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And now Psalm 119. The longest psalm in the Bible. We're going to read only 8 verses of it today. Page 957. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. So far, the reading of God's word this morning. Brothers and sisters, you know the old cliche, men just don't ask for directions. Now, maybe it's different with Siri, right? A little easier to ask Siri than to ask somebody at the gas station on the corner. Men just don't ask for directions. That's because we don't need directions, right? You get that box of furniture that you need to assemble, that piece of furniture, and you open the box and you pull out this wonderful puzzle of pieces, and you find this pieces of paper with fun little cartoons on them. And you say, these are intriguing, and you set them aside because you don't need them, right? And you go ahead and you put the piece of furniture together, and lo and behold, there's 6 extra pieces. Apparently you didn't need those either, right? You know what we're talking about? Sometimes we want to live as though, I got this. I don't need directions. I can do this on my own. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to chart my own path. I'm going to choose my own destination, chart my own path, and I will walk it the way I want to walk it, the way I need to walk it to get there well. I don't need directions. I got this. But think about everything that goes into driving, right? You're going on vacation and you're headed for a particular destination. There's a place you want to get to. You want to enjoy the journey, but you need to get to your destination. First of all, it's about direction. It's about knowing where you're going. It's about picking the right place and actually going there. You want to go the right way, not the wrong way. But it's also about how you drive. It's also about knowing the rules in the driver's manual, the driver's handbook, right? When you take that little test, you go into the DMV and you sit in front of the computer and you have the multiple choice. You need to know those. right? Sometimes I wonder about that when I drive. Maybe we need a retest every 5 years. We need to know the manual. But we also need to have the GPS or the map, right? We need sometimes direction. We need help to know where we're going and how to drive as we go there. Put another way, when the Bible talks about our way or our path, it's not just about where we're going, it's about who we are and how we behave along the way. We even use the word way in that way. Oh, that's his way. That's his way of doing things. Right? And so it is as we look at this first verse. How can a young man keep his way pure? Not only stay focused on heading in the right direction, right? Moving toward God and his purposes and his kingdom, but also his way of walking, who he is and how he behaves, how he conducts himself, his character while he drives, while he goes. It's all part of one's way. How can a young man, how can any person keep his way, keep her way pure? Keep it right. And the answer is simple, yet challenging, isn't it? By living according to your word. This tells you the destination. This is the manual. How you're supposed to drive. How you're supposed to behave. Who you're supposed to be along the way. And also how to get there. And there is one way. It is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that we get there. It's through Jesus Christ alone that we reach the destination, but it is only in Jesus Christ alone that we drive the way we're supposed to drive and we relate the way we're supposed to relate with the others in the vehicle. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Well, it's interesting. Proverbs says this, and it may sound contradictory at first. How do we keep our way pure? It begins by realizing deep down that not a single one of us can keep our way pure. Listen to this. Who can say, I have kept my heart pure? I am clean without sin. The first thing we need to know, the first thing that needs to define the heart of one who is going in the right direction and doing it the right way is to look in yourself and say, my heart is not clean, my heart is not pure, I cannot do this on my own because I'm a sinner and I need grace. The very beginning of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who show up at the gates of the kingdom and when God says, why should I let you in? He says, I'm bankrupt, I've got nothing to offer you. I've got nothing to impress you. I've got nothing by which to pay my way in. I come with empty hands. I am poor in spirit. I am spiritually bankrupt. Pour your grace into me. Pour into me your forgiveness and grace and let me in just because you are kind and gracious and you have sent your son Jesus to die in my place. That is the very first thing and must always be the very first thing about the heart of one who is walking with God. That in ourselves, our hearts are not pure and we need forgiveness and grace every single day. And then in a sense, you can really say, my heart is pure. First of all, a humble heart that sees my need for forgiveness and grace every moment. I'm here only because God is kind and gracious, not because of who I am. I'm such a great person. That humility. And after that, there is a true and sincere desire in the heart. Lord, you have loved me and you love me and I love you back. I'm grateful. And I love you for who you are and for what you've done for me. And I really want to walk with you. I want my way to be pure. And God in his grace, he counts that as purity. Integrity of heart. I want to walk. I want to grow in my walk with you. And as I begin to grow, my life begins to display the character of Jesus over time. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. You see, the whole thing about walking with God and his word is about this word, which is on the outside of us, entering into us, becoming part of us. And as God's word comes from outside and enters inside of us, God uses that word to change us and to slowly make us like Jesus. The Bible even tells us we have been predestined or chosen ahead of time to be conformed to the image of God's Son. What does a life look like that is completely obedient to this word, that loves the way the Bible calls us to, and loves specifically in the kinds of obedience the Bible calls for? That life is embodied in a person named Jesus. The one who walks according to his word is Jesus. And so this concept is very relational. You know how it goes. The more you spend time in relationship with somebody you love and respect, the more you spend time with them, the more you communicate with them, the more you watch the way they do life, the more you watch the way they handle pain and trials and difficulties and opposition, the more you watch the way they respond to life situations. The more you see how what they say matches what they do, the more you hang out with them and as they live this way, the more you will be shaped and formed by who they are and begin to become like them. And the same thing is true in relationship with Jesus Christ. This is always true. Always true. Where do we connect with Jesus? Right here. Right here. Seek Jesus and his directions as you travel life's highway. That simple. Seek Jesus, first of all, and his directions as you travel life's highway. Look at verse 10. I seek you. There's that word. I seek you with all my heart. Everything in me, my heart, that's the core of who I am, the control center of my being. That's what drives me. My heart says, Jesus, without you I'm nothing. Without you I can do nothing. I seek you. I need your forgiveness. I need your finished work for me on the cross. But I also need your strength and your guidance day by day in your word. So I seek you. Jesus, you're wonderful to me. There is no one like you. I want to know you more. I want to become like you. That's where such a walk begins. As we think about our prayer lists, as we think about day by day or on Sundays, the things we call out to God for, does this top the list? Jesus, I want to know you more. Jesus, I want to become like you. There is nothing more important in this life. This is why you have saved me, to be conformed, God, to the image of your Son. So Jesus, I want to be like you. Make me like you. Clean out the olds. Renovate me from the inside out. I want to be like Jesus. Lord, even give me the desire to pray that prayer. I'm going to start praying it just because it's the right thing to do, even though I don't feel a whole lot while I'm praying it. But as I keep praying this prayer, you start pouring gas on the fire of desire, so that I begin to pray this more urgently, that my emotions come along, you see? I seek you with all my heart. I don't want to stray from your commands. Lord God, I don't mean to stray. It's not always deliberate that I make a conscious choice that, God, you want me to do A, so I'm going to do B. It's not always like that. As I seek to follow you, as I seek to focus on you and do what you want me to do in life, there's so many distractions. They're not even always bad things.
things that steal my focus from you and your purpose for my life. And I'm walking, and then there's that distraction, and next thing I know, I'm sidelined, astray from your commands, pressures in my life, temptations, the desire to please other people. But when that desire to please other people actually trumps my desire to please you, and I get distracted by what they think or what they don't think, by their approval or disapproval, and I get distracted and pulled away from your commands and from your path for my life. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Then he goes on to say, the best way, the best thing I can do to ensure, it's only by your grace, but the method you've given me, what you've given me to do so that I will not as quickly stray from your commands, is to hide your word in my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. I have followed. I have made it my priority to take your word, which is outside of me, and eat it. Chew on it so that it becomes part of me, so that it now is inside of me, and you use it actually to renovate and change me. That's the process of feeding on God's word. And we're going to talk in a few moments about what that means and what that looks like. Oh, we have all the access in the world, don't we? Like no other generation in human history, we have so much access to the Word of God. I have no idea how many print Bibles are in this church building alone. That's unheard of in human history. Most times in human history, when all the Bibles had to be copied by hand, there may be one, maybe two people in the church that had a Bible. Maybe it'd be the two people who could read and nobody else could. And so the people would gather and they would huddle as the person with the Bible, the teacher, the pastor would read the Bible and then teach about it. They would hang on every word because that was their access to the Word of God. But then what they would do is together they would memorize that. They would hide it in their heart so that even though they didn't have this at home, they didn't have this in the field while they planted corn, they would have it here. It was hidden here and no one could take it away. And while they'd be planting corn, because it was hidden in their hearts, the Holy Spirit could bring things to mind as they went through their day. Something would pop into their mind, and they'd think about it and chew on it and talk about it. It was here. It's like a seed. Okay, you have a package of pumpkin seeds. I got 20 pumpkin seeds in this package. Isn't that awesome? Well, that's great. Where the seeds make a real difference is when they're taken out of the package and planted in the soil of our hearts. That's where they begin to grow and work their magic, work their change. See? Again, it's the Holy Spirit who makes that happen. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See that attitude of the heart. By the way, in verses 10 and 11, the emphasis in the original is on heart. With all my heart I seek you is literally how it reads. In my heart I have hidden your word because, again, my heart is the control center of my being. If I make my religion, if I make my knowledge of God's word just about an external set of rules that I have to follow, if I make it just about an external checklist, it doesn't change my heart. And I'm still on the road to hell. Truly. That's what was wrong with the Pharisees. Jesus was talking to them in John 5. Read John 5. These guys knew the Bible inside and out. They could quote it frontwards and backwards. And Jesus says, for you guys, it's just a sterile pumping full of your brains. It has not touched your heart. These are the very scriptures that that point to me. These scriptures are all about me. These scriptures are meant to lead you to me, to experience relationship with me. But you're using them against me. How can this be? That's twisted. As Christians, we can end up there. We can make knowing the Word of God a mechanical exercise, a thing of pride, a thing of pedigree. I memorized this or that, or I know the Bible inside and out. I know all the books in order, and I know what each book is about, and I know the history, the timeline of the Bible. I know all this stuff. Therefore, I'm a pedigreed Christian, pedigreed church member. But actually, if it doesn't lead you to Jesus, if it doesn't lead you to commune deeply, to experience Jesus in real relationship, actually, it's more dangerous for you to have all that knowledge and not know Jesus in the Bible, because it will be worse for you on the day of judgment. Because with greater understanding comes greater responsibility. There's another thing about the heart of the one who walks with the Lord. Verse 12. By the way, I've changed the points. We seek Jesus and his directions as you travel life's highway. It's about our hearts and about our habits. Verse 12. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. And here's a principle of the Christian life as well. Someone who is humble and dependent on Jesus is always teachable. If you know it all, the Bible calls you a fool. That simple. If you know it all, the Bible says you're a fool, because we don't know it all. We all need to be teachable and open to God teaching and forming us with his word however he would choose. So the psalmist is open. Teach me your decrees. Earlier, we looked at Psalm 25, and we see some verses there that deal with this aspect of the heart. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. And listen to what Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 25, about how he's going to teach his people after he goes up into heaven. John 14, verses 25 and 26. He says to his disciples, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Let's move on and talk about our habits, and this will be the application section of what we have just talked about. We talk about hiding God's word in our hearts. Again, this is not mechanical, but it's relational. It begins with a heart that wants to know Jesus. It begins by praying constantly. Okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, give me a desire to know Jesus, to seek him in his word. Give me a desire to develop habits that will bring me into constant communication with Jesus. It's like any relationship. If you have only occasional contact and conversation, that relationship isn't going to shape and change you. It's the same with Jesus. And we talked about this last week. We talked about practically getting right, when it gets right down to nitty-gritty, it's not rocket science. It's about finding a Bible reading plan that works for you, or prayer resources that will help you to pray God's word and God's truth back to him. That's why, again, we have developed a set of such resources in the back of this book, the Cottage Grove Handbook. You can find others online. But here's the deal. When it's a priority of the heart, you will find a way. You will make it a priority. Satan will distract you, absolutely. And he will distract you. He will try to pull you away from those practices when it matters most. But you begin to discover that when you are walking closely with Jesus in his word, generally speaking, you can face a lot more in life than when you don't. And God has a way, doesn't he, of throwing you into situations in life, throwing you into trials and difficulties where suddenly you're in over your head and it's all you can do to stay above water and you're just constantly crying, help, help, help. That's prayer. God, I can't do this without you. Jesus, I can't do this without you. I'm going to drown. Help. And you're just constantly crying out to him. That's exactly where he wants you. That's how sometimes he'll kickstart these things in your life. And he does it because he loves you. Or you're in those spaces and there are attitudes and patterns of reacting and relating that just really come to the surface. And you go, oh, God, I didn't think I was like that. I didn't think I had that in me. And when those things surface, you realize just how unable you are to change yourself. And there again, you're crying out for grace to be who Jesus wants you to be as you walk through this excruciatingly difficult part of the path. Jesus, as I go through this part of my journey, I'm seeing ugliness surface in me that... boy, I don't look very much like Jesus right now. I need you to scrub me clean. Help me grow. That too is God's gift. But the practices allow us to receive God in his word routinely and respond, put them into practice. There's nothing like it. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've used the example before. And growing up on the dairy farm, it's one of the best examples of meditation you're ever going to find. A cow has multiple stomachs, unlike you or me. If anybody has more than one stomach, please raise your hand. Okay, no? All right. The cow eats the alfalfa, eats the hay, chews it down. And then later, at a more opportune time, decides, you know, I really need to get all the goodness out of this that I can. So, coughs it up, chews on it some more. It's called chewing the cud. And then swallows again to ruminate some more. Lovely image. But what a picture. What it means. You've ingested God's word. God has spoken deep into your being. And then as you're in conversation with others, or as you're alone in your vehicle, or as you have moments of reflection, it comes to mind again and you chew on it some more. And how does this apply? How does this relate to my current situation? Or I wonder how so-and-so thinks this applies to my current situation. And all of that is meditation. All of that is chewing. All of that is how God makes his word part of you, and the Holy Spirit uses it to form you. In corporate worship like this, but also in personal and family worship, there's no substitute. The author of Proverbs continually tells his son to whom he's writing, hide my teachings within you. Treasure them up. Well, just briefly, as we look at verses 12, 13, and 14, it's a little corny, but the words rhyme, all right? You look at the way that the movement of 12, 13, and 14, about our habits, as we seek to connect with Jesus and his word, it's about pray, say, and hooray. Okay? Got that? Pray, say, hooray. First of all, 12 again. Praise be to your Lord. Teach me your decrees. Let me ask you, when you open the Bible to read on your own, do you first pray? A simple prayer from your heart, saying, you look at it and you say, Lord, I'm not going to get out of this what I need unless your Holy Spirit teaches it to me, applies it to my heart exactly the way I need. Holy Spirit, as I open your word, teach me. Teach me whatever it is Jesus wants to teach me. Use this to shape me. In fact, in church, we have something called the prayer of illumination, right? Shed light on what we're reading. Holy Spirit, you teach us. It's not going to happen without you. So we enter God's word, pray that he will be your teacher. Teach me your decrees.
Pray and then say, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. It's the same in Hebrew. It's based on the word count, right? You open the Bible and you count God's laws. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? Whatever. But to recount them is to keep looking at them, is to go over them again and again and again, to go over them again and again and again so that, you learn them, and then also to speak them. Because you learn nothing better than when you first take it in, but then also have to teach somebody else or speak it back out, right? That's just the way learning goes. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. And it may not be about memorizing per se, but it's just about as you become familiar, the more and more you have contact with the Word of God, you develop a familiarity. You know, I may not know that verse word for word, but I kind of know what it says, and there's recall when I need it. Finally, hooray. To really take time and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to really value and treasure God and His Word for what they are. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect, literally forget, your Word. Brothers and sisters, you can walk and talk with Jesus. You can experience Him personally, not as someone you just know about, but as someone you know. There's no substitute for the habits of the heart. Corporate worship, communal worship like this, regularly. Encountering Jesus in His Word and praying ahead of time, Lord, make my heart open to encounter you exactly the way I need you in this service. But also as you develop your private and family practices to get into God's Word, to pray that He will be your teacher and that He will form in you the character and the response you need to walk with Him, to trust and obey. How can a young man, how can any person keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. Help me, Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, teach us your Word. Form us according to your Word, according to your for your purposes, so that we may continue to head in the right direction and to journey in right ways, with right hearts, in relationship with you and with others. Amen. Let's continue that prayer by standing together to sing the song Ancient Words, as you'll find it on the screen.